You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
Monday night, and we thank you for tuning in to Final Authority on KLJN1077.com. On this program, the host will share scriptures in their proper contextual meaning. He teaches with passion and a genuine desire to feed God's people the biblical truth. Because, after all, the Bible is our final authority. If you have a question or comment for the host during the show, please call 914-205-5481 and be sure to press 1 to be live on the air. And now, without further ado, here is your host, the ambassador of fitness and witness, Pastor Everett Robinson.
Okay, all right. Well, I am so greatly delighted that you have tuned in to QLJNRadio.com. This is your host of the Final Authority, Pastor Everett Robinson. Again, I welcome you to the Final Authority. We air live every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, unless otherwise indicated. Okay, we're going to dive right in. We have a subject matter that we'll be dealing with today. Entitled A Relationship with Christ Versus Being Religious. And today I have a guest that will be on panel with me today, and I'm going to share a little bit of information with you concerning him. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray first, and then I will go ahead on and proceed with the show. All right, well, Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory. We acknowledge you as the living, true God, the Most High God, our Father, source, provider, and giver of life. We thank you, O God, for the grace that you bestowed upon us through thy Son, Jesus Christ. And, Father, we honor you by honoring your Son. Thank you, Father God, for granting unto us the Holy Spirit that indwells us, who quickens the word to our understanding, that we may apply the word of God to our lives. And, Father, we want a relationship with you, to fellowship and to commune with you and to know you intimately, Father, by faith and through thy Spirit. We thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory. I pray that the people are blessed, that you grant unto them all the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ and in the knowledge of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to welcome my guest and friend, Dr. Reggie Smith. I tell you, I've known him for... since 1977, and I tell you, he's a profound man in Christ. He's committed and dedicated to the glory of Christ. I'm a man whom I just have high regard and respect for, and I'm so privileged that he would join me on the show today. And we also will have other shows that we'll be dealing with, different subjects that Dr. Smith will be joining with me on. So let me just say right now, I appreciate his knowledge, the wisdom that God has given him in the Word. This is a man who have studied under rabbis, who have learned the Hebrew language, who even wrote books to the glory of Christ, to bless and to share insight with people from the Holy Scriptures. And so at this point in time, I want to say, Dr. Smith, welcome to the Final Authority.
Yes, sir. God bless you, Brother Everett. It's such a great blessing to be invited to sit with you during this program on this very important subject. What is religion? And relationship and what the difference is. So thank you, my brother. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Smith. Okay, so we're going to be dealing with a relationship with Christ versus being religious. So we're going to deal with a relationship, all right, with Christ. Well, to have a relationship with Christ, you need to know who is Christ and where is he and how can I have a relationship with him? Is that possible? So when we say a relationship, what do we mean by that? as opposed to being religious. You have people that are religious and may not have a relationship with Christ. You have a lot of religious people. But a relationship is something unique and intimate between two parties. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to grant this opening part to Dr. Smith, my friend, and let him open up, and we'll just flow together in this particular subject matter. Again, the subject matter, a relationship with Christ versus being religious. So what are your thoughts concerning that, Dr. Smith?
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Edward.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's very important because people do get relationship and religion mixed together. And I came up with a slogan, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, maybe longer. And that is, there's churchanity and there's Christianity. You know, a lot of people think that going to church makes you a Christian, when going to church does not make you a Christian, but you go to church because you are a Christian. And so man, we always have a need to express our own self through our vanity and ego. And so we create religion, you know. So Paul spoke about that if we worship and sacrifice food to idols, we're sacrificing and worshiping demons. And so that Greek word proskuneo for worship, proskuneo, means to submit oneself to a higher authority. And so man has created religion. So Paul talks about that. So either we're worshiping God, proskuneo, we're submitting to God, or we are submitting to demonic influences which bring about religion, or we create an institution that we highly esteem and praise, and that becomes a religion also, and that is man worshiping himself. So there's a difference in churchanity, which is institutionalized Christianity, and having a relationship, a personal one-on-one individual, internal emotional relationship with a living God through Jesus Christ. And so
amen.
What I would like to, you know, sort of do, Pastor, is to lay the foundation of what God's desire was from the old covenant extending into the new covenant regarding relationship. And just read a couple of verses here and do some word association with relationship. What God really wants is to have a family, is to have sons and daughters in relationship and connection with him.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Everett? Oh, I thought we got
yes, that. Yes, sir. No, I'm listening. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Go right ahead. Flow.
So,
yes, sir.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Mm. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Mm. And so that's a part of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Okay, so the relationship words there is, number one, us. Let us make man. That shows a relationship in Godhead or in our likeness. Our likeness, another relationship word, our. There's unity there in our likeness. And then he says, be fruitful and multiply. You can't be fruitful and multiply without having a relationship. So right from the beginning, these words represent having a relationship with God. And he wants this personal relationship. And because we were created in his image, then we also have the capacity to have a relationship with the Godhead. Because there's a relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And because we were created in his image, we also have the capacity to have a relationship with the Godhead, with God himself, through Jesus Christ. And that leads us to be fruitful and multiply. Being fruitful and multiply means we also have the capacity to have a relationship with each other among ourselves. So in the beginning, God created us to have a relationship with himself and with each other. And then, you know, down there in Genesis 2:24, it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So the relationship words in the Old Testament, in that scripture, is father and mother and wife, and they shall be one flesh. So right there, God is laying the foundation of how he operates in his world, in his kingdom, in his economy. Father, in Hebrew, avinu, means one who supports and one who directs. He's our father and mother. Okay, so it says man shall leave father and mother. That's relationship. Wife is relationship. And they shall be one flesh.
Amen. Amen. I see it. I do agree with it. And I think that from what you're saying, originally it was God that established relationship. So God had formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And from there, God had this relationship with Adam, and he gave Adam some instructions and some counsel. All right, from there, Adam had a relationship, and God had put some stipulations up on Adam. And so we look at God speaking to Adam, all right, gave Adam some orders, as we read over in the book of Genesis chapter 2, all right? So as we go on and we read over here, we see that God spoke to him, and God had told Adam, say, Adam, all right, you may freely eat of the trees of the garden of Eden, but of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, all right? For the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. God did not want man to die. Yes. God, separation from God. God wanted to have that relationship, that unbroken relationship. We're not talking about religion.
Right, right.
We're talking about a relationship with the living God. And so we see right at the outset of creation, God was about relationship. And like you said, God had mentioned, well, actually, Moses had documented that God said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh, a relationship. So we have a relationship with God and then relationship with one another, mankind, woman, with woman, all right? Man,
right.
Woman.
Yes.
Okay, so we have that. Then we have what's called friendship relationship. We have business relationship. So God is about relationships, and our relationship should be centered on God, our relationship with God. So if your relationship with God is right, then your relationship with your fellow man should be right, because your relationship
right.
with your fellow man should come out of your relationship with God, and that's the order of things.
Okay? Absolutely. Well, absolutely.
Okay?
You're right. You're right on key with that. That's God's desire, is for us to have a relationship with him and a relationship with each other through him.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you mentioned, Adam and Eve, after they disobeyed God in their relationship with him, because they were not created perfect, they were created innocent. And because they were created innocent, they needed law. And that's what the tree represented. If they were going to follow his commands in a relational way. And so in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, is where after Adam and Eve had broken their relationship with God, he still was in union with them. He still loved them. He still cared about them, because in a godly relationship, there's an eternal attachment that he has with his people. So it says,
and they heard
the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wives hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called out to Adam and said to him, where are you? And Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and hid myself. Okay, this shows here that the voice of the Lord, in Hebrew, the voice of the Lord, which is the presence of God, which is, as you and I know, is what we call a theophany, or it could be a Christophany, that is an appearance of God in a way that man can comprehend him, that man could see him. And here you have the voice of the Lord walking. How can a voice walk? Well, a voice can walk. So Adam said it's really God's presence. The thing is that he was down there visiting Adam and Eve. And because they disobeyed him, he cried out to them. And it says Adam and his wife hid themselves. There it is again, relationship, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the Lord calling out to them. And in the Hebrew language, this is very poetic, it's very passionate, that he's calling out to them with from his heart, and he's calling them from passion. So the scripture says that he shall never leave us nor forsake us, that he will be with us till the end of the age. So this is him just passionately calling out to Adam. And what does Adam do? He answers back and says he was afraid. Okay? Why? Because they had a communicative relationship. They were, Adam knew distinctively that he had union with God, and they were speaking with each other. And Jesus, or could I say God in appearance of the voice of the Lord, was seeking out Adam and Eve to fellowship with them. That's just my opinion. So the relationship connecting words there is Adam and his wife, the presence of the Lord, he's there to see about them, and he called out to them in a very, very passionate way. So therefore God wants this relationship with us. And so in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 11 through 13, he says this in regards to having this relationship. He says, I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God. So there it is again. He's walking like he walked among in the garden of searching for Adam and Eve. He knew where they were, you know, because he's God.
Oh, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
He wanted them to know that he was there. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, fine. I mean, excellent. I mean, outstanding. I want to go back to verse 9 when the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? God knew because he's omnipresent, and because God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things, he knew exactly where Adam was. And it appears to me that as I read this particular text, that God was giving Adam an opportunity to confess. Because you see, I look at when he says, where art thou, Adam? Adam was not in the place where he was before he ended up partaking of the fruit that God had commanded him not to eat of. Adam was not in that place no more. He got out of divine order. And so now God said, where are you, Adam? And even us today, God will say, where are you in relationship to me? Where are you in relationship to my word? Where are you in relationship to my will? I want to have fellowship with you. See, God, see, relationally, we're offspring of the creation of God. And by faith in Christ, we become children of God. We're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And now we know Christ. Christ dwelt in us by his spirit. So we have this spiritual relationship. But we have to understand something, that our relationship with God is different in the sense of our relationship with one another. We see each other and the physicality of each other and so on. But our relationship with God is all in spirit, okay? So we have a true, genuine relationship with God. I don't see the Lord Jesus Christ physically and bodily. Jesus Christ, he hung on the rugged cross. He shed his blood on that cross. He died. He was buried. He rose again in a resurrected, glorified body. And now he ascended up into heaven. He's alive forevermore. And yet I have a relationship with him, and it's not based upon physicality. It's based upon spirit. This is why I'm born of the Holy Spirit. So I have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit who connects me to Christ. And so I have this relationship where Christ communicates with me. I communicate. I can commune with him. He can commune with me. We have fellowship one with another.
Yeah.
And it's just like over in 1 John chapter 1, it tells us that
If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So when I walk in the light of who Christ is and in my union with Christ, I have fellowship with the Father. The Father has fellowship with me. Yes. We have fellowship with one another. This is a spiritual reality, not a physical reality, because it's not based upon physicality. All right?
Right, right.
Okay, you can have relationship. So when Adam had relationship with his wife, that was physicality. All right? He had children. That was physicality, physical relationship. All right? He had a soulish, mental, emotional, and physical relationship. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, who is the resurrected, ascended, exalted Lord, this is all a spiritual reality. It's not about religion or church. It's about a relationship. It's not about a religious building. It's not about a synagogue. It's not about a temple. It's not about a church building. It's not about any of those things. But it's not about all those religious things I can do. It's all about, do I have a true, genuine relationship with the very creator of heaven and the earth? Like Adam, Adam had a relationship with God. God spoke to Adam. God gave Adam commandments.
Right.
And then Adam spoke back to the Lord. I hid myself.
That's
who was afraid? Okay, the communication.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen.
And so let me do this. Before we proceed, I forgot to do something. That is, in case any of our listeners have a question, or if you want to make a comment or express another view, please feel free to call. The area code is 914-205-5481. Again, the number to call for a question or a comment or what have you is area code 914-205-5481. Now, after you dial that number and you are connected, then immediately press the number 1 on your phone. That'll connect you to my producer, and the producer will connect you to our line, the final authority, and I'll welcome you. Okay. All right. God bless you. Thank you for that. All right. Back to you, Dr. Smith. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Have you just laid out, beautifully what our relationship with God is supposed to be, you know, and it's constant, you know. So what is being a Christian? Well, okay, being a Christian is being Christ-like and having that communion with God and doing what God said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your cardia in Greek, your the seat of your emotions, you know. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, and to love who? Everyone else. Everyone else. So in that we have several Greek words. We have agape, but we have agapeo first. Agapeo, it's the kind of love that God gives me to love him. And when I love him with the love he gives me, then agape love, I can love others. You see?
And
that's all in relationship. You know, so as I reading there over there in Leviticus, where he said, I will walk among you and I will be your God and you will be my people in the possessive sense. He wants to have a family. He wants to have a relationship here on earth. And to, you know, bring it down, you know, into the new covenant, about one more verse, Exodus, before we go there, Exodus 33, verse 11, is a very interesting verse. It's where, you know, Moshe, speaking with the Lord. And the scripture says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face.
To face, yeah.
As one speaks to a friend, then Moses would return to the camp. God, the Almighty God, would speak to Moses face to face. Now, we know we can't stand in the presence of God. It's just too mighty. But God revealed himself to Moses in such a way that God said, Theos Nustas, that his God-breathed inspiration says that he spoke to Moses face-to-face as one speaking to a friend. Now, here we have the Almighty God being friends with Moses. I think that's pretty powerful. that God yes. would call Moses a friend based upon yes. God's desire just not to have a religion, but to have a personal relationship. You see, a friend, yes. like you're my friend, it's because I personally know you, makes you my friend.
Yes.
A person I don't know, I can't have a friendship with. I can't know them.
Right.
But God
exactly.
called Moses his friend. And so now in the new covenant, in 1 John, First John 12:15. Now is that right? Let's see. In 1 John it says this. This is my commandment
mm-hmm.
that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his what? His
friends.
Just like
the
old covenant,
John, the
he called.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Okay. The Gospel of St. John. I'm sorry. It's at First John. But, yeah. right. In Exodus,
right.
he called Moses his friend. But see, Moses was a prophet. See, Israel, see, here's one thing about how God related to Israel. The people themselves did not have this one-on-one personal relationship with the Father, with God, because they live by law. So in the Old Covenant, you have law. In the New Covenant, you have relationship. In the Old Covenant, you have law. In the New Covenant, you have Lord in a relationship with mankind. So God would personally speak to the prophets. Then the prophets would personally speak to the people. They would be the mouth of the menorah. They would be the voice. They would be the mouth of God to the people. But here, God extends himself past one person, one prophet, Jeremiah, Moses, Elijah, Habakkuk, Zechariah, Daniel. You know, he spoke to the prophets, and the prophets spoke to the people. Here, now, God is speaking to us personally. He's no longer
yes,
speaking
amen.
To one
amen.
Voice.
Amen.
So right there where it says, this is my commandment that you love one another as I love you. Greater love has no man than he laid down his life for his friends. He says, verse 14, you are my friends. See, there it is. He wants relationship.
Yeah.
You are my
yeah.
friends if you do what I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for a servant does not know what his Lord is doing, but I have called you my friends. For all
yeah.
that I have heard of my Father, I've given to you. So now he's calling us his friends because we have this relationship,
now.
This one-on-one, not a religion. You know, man's searching for God. You know, not a religion. Man giving homage to an institution or a denomination or a personality, but focusing in on one person. And that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So,
amen. Absolutely.
And the last verse, because I know you have plenty to share and to say, but I just wanted to lay that foundation. And 1 John 3, verse 1 through 3, says, behold, what manner of love the Father, okay, again, a relational word, the Father has bestowed upon us, that's believers,
yes.
that we should
yes.
be called the what? The Bnei HaElohim, Hebrew, the sons of God.
That's right.
Therefore, the word does not know us because it does not know him. And that Greek word know there means to know him in a very intimate, personal way. The world cannot know him because if you don't know Christ, you cannot know the Father. And so, according to
Amen.
Our faith, and so right there, not only are we friends with God, we're
let,
also
let, let me interrupt you real quickly, Dr. Smith, for a moment. We're going to take a short break, and right after the break, we'll return. Stay tuned in to The Final Authority. Again, with us today, I have Dr. Smith with us, and we're dealing with relationship with Christ versus being religious. Stay tuned in. We'll be back right after the break. Thank you. God bless.
make a brand new start. You find anything you need.
Listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
All right. Well, thank you for staying tuned in to QLJNRadio.com, The Final Authority. Well, that song, that beautiful song, was by Bishop Paul Morton. And the name of the song is called Create in Me. Again, that was by Paul Morton. And that kind of reminded me of a text out in Psalm 51 where David said, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So I want God to continue to do a creative work in me and clean my heart all for his glory. All right, so again, we pick it back up where we left off at, dealing with a relationship with Christ versus being religious. And I'm just privileged again that Dr. Smith, Reggie Smith, has joined me on the program. And so we're going to continue in dealing with the relationship. And Dr. Smith was also sharing with us out of St. John chapter 15 about Christ called the disciples fleeing. One thing before I give it back to Dr. Smith, I also want to mention that Jesus Christ had his ministry was about 3.5 years. And his disciples, which became his apostles, were there with him in relation with him for those 3.5 years. And ultimately, Christ was turned over to the Romans, and he was crucified and died and shed his blood, was buried, and then rose again the third day. And after he rose on the third day, for a period of 40 days, he appeared to so many people, giving them overwhelming evidences of his physical bodily resurrection. After which, he then was taken up into heaven. He ascended up into the heaven. He's now highly exalted, glorified, and in that resurrected, glorified body in heaven. From that point on, the disciples' relationship with Christ was definitely all by faith, because they didn't have the physical body of Christ as it were no longer. He ascended up to heaven. And so just like they had continued on in that relationship with Christ, because it was all by faith, they accepted that he was the Messiah. They accepted that he was the Son of God. They accepted his teachings. They followed his teachings. They committed their lives to their Lord, Jesus the Christ. And yet, they were friends of Christ. All right? Yes. And even that had maintained. Well, even as Reggie talked about, Dr. Reggie Smith, he talked about Moses being a friend of God and how God spoke to him face to face. All right? God, as with a friend, God spoke to him in such plain, clear language. All right, now we see where also James, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, over in James chapter 2, where he mentions that Abraham was called the friend of God. That's relationship. Yeah, and so that's James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See? And so we have right standing with God. This is a relationship. So I have a relationship with God by virtue of the fact that I have come to true, genuine repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is all by faith and in spirit. And so in spirit, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm joined to Christ in spirit. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And so I have this union with Christ. And because I have this union with Christ, I have become a friend of God. It's a relationship.
Amen.
So I want to mention that part out. So, Dr. Smith, whatever it is that you want to share at this time, please do.
Well, you know, I think it's very important that we recognize that with what you just described. You know, God wants to be very personal with us. You know, I remember waking up one morning, and I was just questioning myself, you know, I was being pretty negative on myself. At times we do as human beings, you know. And mm-hmm. I said to God, you know, what's the purpose? Why did you create me? And mm-hmm. I was also asking, why did you create man? In the same question. And I just sat there, and I felt as if the Spirit spoke to me and said this: I wanted a relationship. Mm-hmm. God created man, and God, you know, I don't know if you would agree with this, but I think God took a chance, in a sense, of creating a being that was given choice. He was given a mind, a phoneme, a mental disposition to be able to make a choice. And that man that God made, independent of him in the sense that this person had their own thinking, would they choose God and love them from their heart, or would they disobey God and go their own way? And so God did that because he wanted to have us to have a one-on-one, natural, a real relationship from our cardia, from the seat of our emotions, from our phoneme, from our mental disposition, to choose to love him without being robotized, without being indoctrinated, without being
forced.
You know, and I know this may be debate. We start getting into Calvinistic predestination, you know, which that's a whole different thing, you know.
Where he says
you really don't have free will in that sense, you know. And so, but I believe that God gave us the power of choice, so that if we choose him, it'll be from our heart, and it would be true love, and that way he can relate to us in a very natural way, and not as if we've been programmed. You see?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I don't believe God made robots out of us. I believe we are free moral agents, and that we can make a choice. And so when presented the gospel, either you're going to make a choice either to receive or to reject, which shows the power of choice.
Right.
And so I believe that we as human beings, God did create us with a will, whether we can will good or will bad, it's up to us. God wants us to choose us from the heart, so he didn't make us robots. I think that choice, that also implies love. God, you want somebody to love you by choice, not by force, because it won't be true love.
Exactly. Yes. Amen.
So,
amen.
One of the things that I want to kind of throw in there before we eventually get to the closing of our show is that being religious, you have a number of people, even during Christ's time, he dealt with a lot of the religious leaders, and they were very religious. I'm going to show you something. This is so powerful because here is Jesus, as recorded in St. John chapter 8. This is so profound because Jesus had given so much overwhelming evidences that pointed to him being the Messiah of Israel, that he's the Messiah of whom the Old Testament prophets had foretold. And so all the evidence was so overwhelming, they could not deny the evidence. And so Jesus is speaking to a number of Jews who was in the temple. And so I would say 31. Said Jesus to those Jews who believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They said to Jesus, "We Abraham's seed, we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you should be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, or most solemnly I'm telling you the truth, I say unto you that whoever commits sin is the slave of sin." And then we go on down to verse 36. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." All right? So
right.
Now notice this. Jesus said, "I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you." Now, these are religious people. But he said, "You seek to kill me because my word have no place in you." They heard the word of Christ. They heard the teachings of the Messiah, and they did not receive his teachings. He made it very clear he's the Son of God. He come down from heaven. He made that very clear in chapter 6 and 7. He says, "I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father." They answered Jesus. They said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Now watch what they say to Christ. They said to him, they said to Jesus, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Now keep in mind, these were religious leaders and religious people.
They said, we have one Father, even God. So they claim God is their Father. But listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of him. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me here. Very clear that Jesus made clear that he was the Son of God and he had a relationship with his Father. So these Jews here said God is our Father, but down on the inside they had a motivation to kill him. And so ultimately Jesus exposed the intent of their heart. And then he tells them, you are of your father, the devil. They were religious people. They were at the temple. I'm sure they offered up sacrifices. They were there at the reading of the law of Moses in the synagogues, in the temple, or what have you. But now, here it is, Jesus exposed them and said, you are of your father, the devil. See, just because you're religious don't mean that you have a relationship with God. God wants to have that relationship with you. He wants to have that relationship with you. He wants to have that intimacy. Do you know him? Now, notice what Jesus said in verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. So ultimately, as you read the same chapter and you go on down further, when Jesus said, made a statement, before Abraham was, I am, they took up stones to stone him. Because ultimately it came out, they wanted to kill him. That's what they wanted to do. So we're looking at this particular text. I'm looking at the relationship. Now, here it is. If you really have a relationship, Jesus said, if you have a relationship with God, if God is your father and you honor God as your father, well, I came from him. I proceeded from him. And if you have a relationship with God, you will love the one whom he sent.
That's right.
It was very obvious they didn't have a relationship, though they were religious. So we're talking about a relationship with the Christ, the Messiah, the biblical Messiah, the very Son of God who pre-existed with the Father, who was in eternity past in fellowship with the Father, had a relationship with the Father, and the Father God sent him from glory to be tabernacled in the womb of a virgin named Mary to take upon human flesh so that Christ can come in the earth in perfect obedience of the Father, now to represent God and man. That's why we call him the God-man. He's the Son of God, and yet he's the Son of man, God made flesh, and walked the earth in perfect obedience to the Father, and ultimately he died on the cross, shed his blood for you and I, was buried and rose again for our justification. He's alive forevermore, and he wants to have a relationship with you. This is the resurrected Christ. You can have this relationship. So it's not about being religious. It's not about how many days of a week you go to a religious service or a church or a ministry or a synagogue or whatever. It's not about how many good things you do. You ought to do good things. It's okay to go to a ministry or whatever, synagogue if you go. Do you have a relationship with Christ, the Messiah? Again, I'm not talking about being religious. You got people who have joined churches, got baptized, members of churches and ministries and organizations or what have you, but have not come into a true intimate relationship with Christ. Let me give you an example of something before I give you back to Dr. Smith. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus makes a very profound statement, very thought-provoking statement. And in Matthew chapter 7, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you don't, just write it down, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, where Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So for you to acknowledge him as Lord, that means you must know some Lord, Lord. He says, not everyone that say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. We're saying they was religious. They knew about Christ. They knew about his lordship. They claimed to have cast out devils in the name of the Lord, but they didn't know him. Because he said, I never knew you, which implies they never knew him. See, it's one thing to know a person, and it's another thing to know of them. Do you know him? Not know of him. Do you know him in a relationship? We're talking about the Greek word ginoskos. Do you know him? Do you have this relationship with him? So he said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Now, on one occasion, Jesus is speaking to the church of the Laodiceans, and they said, we got everything going on. We increase the goods. We have need of nothing. And Jesus said, do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, you blind, and you naked? Jesus said, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed. That's his righteousness. All right? And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And then he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Then he says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Notice, I stand at the door. Jesus said, I'm at the door knocking. But I want to force my way in. You must open the door. That's your will. Yes. You open the door, you let him in, then he wants to have this relationship with you. He wants to have this fellowship, this communion with you. I will sup with you. He's going to sit down and have fellowship with you. That is a intimate, personal, spiritual reality of a relationship with the Messiah. He's talking to the people in the church. The church of the Laodiceans. He's telling them, I'm at the door knocking. He's talking about, more than y'all being in church, I want to have a relationship. See, because going to church is good, but if you're getting good sound doctrine and you're getting the true gospel of Christ, that's good. You're having fellowship centered on Christ, where you're being edified and you're being challenged in the word of God, where you're growing spiritually, that's good. But just to go where you're not being fed, that's not good. But go to church, that's good, as long as it is a sound teaching you're receiving under the ministry and the leadership is under the authority of Christ and honoring the authority as a God-called minister centered on the person of Christ. But just because you go to a local church or a ministry don't mean you have a relationship with Christ.
That's right.
All right? Because there are people who go to church, they'll cuss you out, steal from you, rob you, rip you off, everything. All right? So my thing is, when you have a real relationship, God put his spirit within you. He took out that stony heart and gave you a heart of flesh. That's the word of God. God is about regenerating you. So having a relationship with him, it changes your life in conformity to Christ, the Messiah. We're pretty close to finish. Go ahead, Dr. Smith. Go ahead. You want to comment?
Well, brother, I don't think I can comment any further than what you've just shared. I think said it all. You spoke for me, sir.
Oh, wow.
So praise God.
Well, one other thing, we do have about maybe six, 7 more minutes, but I will say this also, that Jesus was very known among the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, and the priests, the high priest. He was very known throughout Israel. He was teaching in the synagogues. He was preaching in the gospel of the kingdom, going from synagogue to synagogue. He was at the temple. He was at the Passover. He was at unleavened bread. He was at all these various Jewish festivals and feasts. And so he was known throughout Israel. His name spread. His fame spread throughout Israel. And so, so he's well known. So there was a notable, very, very notable religious leader by the name of Nicodemus. So you'll read like over in St. John chapter 3. And so Nicodemus had came to Jesus by night. And so in St. John chapter 3, it says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, master teacher, we know that you are a teacher who come from God. No man can do these miracles that you are doing except God be with him. Jesus answered something, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow. He's speaking to Nicodemus.
Right.
Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, and he was a rabbi himself. He probably sat on the Sanhedrin Council. And the thing about this is that he was a very religious man. He knew about the Torah. He knew about the Old Testament. He knew about the law of Moses. He was well-versed in the Old Testament text of Scripture. And so Jesus said, verily, verily, in verse 5, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then Jesus said unto him in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. And then Jesus began to talk about an Old Testament text out of the book of Numbers, 21. Jesus said in verse 23, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. Now, here, Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness. All right? The children of Israel had murmured against Moses. God had passed a judgment against Israel and sent fiery serpents and began to bite them, and some of them began to die off. And God had Moses make a pole, all right, in the serpent form and lift it up, and whoever looked upon there would live. Well, Jesus is referring to himself as the Son of Man. He's going to be lifted up, and that is, he's going to be nailed to a cross and lifted up on the cross, and the sins of mankind will be placed on Christ, and he's going to die for the sins of the world. And Jesus said in verse 15, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then he tells Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the God kind of life. God imparting his life in you by virtue of the fact that you come to faith in Christ. Now, you now enter this relationship with God because you now have the impartation of everlasting life, the life of God now imparted into your being. So he told Nicodemus, you got to come to faith in me as the Son of God. I came from heaven. The Father sent me. I'm the one going to be lifted up on the cross as the Son of Man, and yet I am the Son of God. That you believe in me, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life.
Right.
Then Jesus said,
yes.
For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God wants that relationship with you. He wants you saved. So, again, he said to Nicodemus, he was religious, but he was not born again. He had to come to faith in Christ. So, relationship with Christ, that's what you need. Because there's people that really do have a relationship with Christ and never have set foot in the church building. My relationship with Christ is not based upon a church building. It's based upon the revelation of what Scripture has revealed about who the Messiah is. And once I come to the knowledge and understanding of who Jesus Christ is, the Messiah, the Son of God, and what he has done and accomplished for me on the cross, and I come under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of my desperate need of Jesus as my Lord and Savior, then I come into a relationship with God. Well, I got to close out now. Time has now come to a close. I want to thank Dr. Reggie Smith out of Vallejo who have joined me, the final authority on the program. We thank God for you, Dr. Smith. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Radio audience, again, we will be back again live Monday, 6 to 7, again. The Final Authority airs live. Thank you for tuning in. Grace, peace, and blessings be upon you. The will of God be done. And remember, the Word of God is the final authority. It's not me. It's not you. It's not Dr. Smith. Not your pastor. Not your bishop. Not your pope. Not your priest. Jesus Christ is the final authority. The Word. God bless you. Until then, peace and many blessings. God bless you, Dr. Smith.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Final Authority. We hope you enjoyed our program. Join us again next Monday, right here on the hot new Q, QLJNradio.com. You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
Well, we certainly hope you've enjoyed this episode of Final Authority with your host, Pastor Everett Robinson. We invite you to visit the Will of God Christian Center located at 419 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. If you'd like to send a message to Pastor Everett Robinson, you may email him at ambassadorer@yahoo.com. Thank you again for listening to the Final Authority right here on KLJN 107.7.